I'm a little bit single, even when I'm not.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And fairy dust, fairy dust, fairy dust. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on digital stream radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Today, we're going to welcome back the great doctor, Dr. Evan Goldstein, just in the nick of time, that was a pun, for this month's Tales from the Tale. Today, we're going to be changing things up a bit and making changes to our schedule. Thus, the great doctor is going to actually be joining us shortly after our introduction for the first half of the show. And then we're going to move the dish, as we always do here on the show, to the second part of our show shortly after the break. So my name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, with me are my amazing co-hosts, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And of course, returning to reprise her role as guest host is...
It's Elsie.
And thank you all. And let's just get started. We're going to wait for that amazing dishy intro for the second half. But we have Dr. G on the line. And of course, we don't want to keep him waiting. So we're going to move right into today's topic. I just need to unmute his channel so that we can listen to him and that amazing voice of his. And Dr. G, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Do you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear us?
Oh, yes, I hear you loud and clear.
Fantastic. That's how I like it.
Hi, Dr. G. How are you?
Good. How you doing? How are you, beautiful?
I'm all right. I've been missing you this past month, but it's good to see you again.
Well, we're back. We're reunited.
Reunited, and it feels so good. And of course, have you met Elsie before? I think you have.
I think maybe one time you were in the distance, right?
Yes, yeah. We met once. There was a whole butt wipe situation.
Yeah, you like ruined her life with the butt wipes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. I know I ruin a lot of people's lives with the butt wipes.
She hasn't been able to get over that. So
I haven't.
So we have a very interesting tale for today. We're going to be talking about manscaping and all the good things and bad things that come along with that and all the accidents that could happen. So Dr. G, why don't you tee us up and tell us a little bit about the story?
Yeah, sure. So it's actually an interesting story. So this poor guy who's been waiting for like this beautiful Prince Charming of his to come along and kind of allow him to bottom and do all these things. Literally, the guy texted him. They were going back and forth for a long time. Finally, it happened where the guy texted him and said, "I'm coming over. And I'll be there in an hour." And the guy was like, "Oh my God, like I've been waiting for this guy to have sex with me for such a long time. And now all of a sudden he's only giving me an hour to prepare." It was like a Thursday or a Friday. Yeah, he's like, "Dude, I'm hairy. I feel gross. I'm like, you know, all I need, I don't know what the fuck to do, but I need to get ready." And like, you know, and the guy obviously was so worth it that he decided, "Hey, let's do it." And so in his panic, he started the typical kind of process of from douching and cleaning and external, and then obviously had to kind of manscape the area. And then basically during the trimming process wound up nicking himself because obviously he was trying to go super fast, but it's a tough area, as you all know, to shave yourself or find the appropriate, placement of your ass and the mirror or the phone or whatever you're using. Nicks himself, starts bleeding like a son of a bitch, and literally like blood coming down his leg, trying to get in the shower, trying to figure out what's the best way in the course of action. And during this time, the guy's like texting him, "I'll be there in 30 minutes. I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I'll be there in 10 minutes." It's so fucked up. So he texts me, of course, that all of this is happening. And I was like, Do you have like Afrin spray? Do you ever use it for your nose? Anyhow, some people use it for sinusitis or some issues. It basically causes the blood vessels to constrict so that you don't have the congestion. And it's the same thing. So I said, literally spray your ass with this, put some pressure on it. And it basically stopped the bleeding at that point. And then he was able to kind of finish up, get himself to a situation where he felt somewhat sexy. The guy came over. They were able to hook up. It was not to his like A++. Like it was an amazing experience because the entire time he's looking down there like, is he bleeding? He's checking. Like, did the scab fall off? Is there a problem? Am I bleeding all over this poor man? And anyhow, he wound up being able to experience his sexual experience to the best of his ability. But it brought us into the grooming world that us, you know, gay guys have to do, or specifically, obviously, women do all the time. But from a gay perspective, in the nick of time, it's a tough situation sometimes.
So I have to tell you something, though. I was reading the story while I was at work, and I'm laughing
not a good idea.
My
not
ass off idea. Hysterically. And people are looking at me like, what is wrong with him? But I want to read one verse or one paragraph from the story because it's what I was in stitches at my desk. And like people were raising their head like, what is wrong with him? So anyway, so the guy goes, so the guy in the story goes, true story, the man that I had been courting for months finally texts me, it's time. Holding back my sheer and utter excitement and not wanting to be too presumptuous, I casually responded via text asking him to be a bit more specific. His response, my cock, your ass. See you in an hour. Oh my God. The first thought that ran through my mind was that there are so many things that I need to prepare for in so little time. I don't know about you boys, but my asshole needs to be clean shaven before I bottom. It is so bad that without complete smoothness, I get super irritated from all the friction, regardless of the lube I use. And I was hairy as fuck at the moment, so I'm screaming to all my roommates to get the fuck out of the way. I took over our single bathroom and began my routine, or all of the routines, as he stated in the story. And I'm sitting there just crying at work. But it was just incredible. It's just the story from top to bottom. It's got a lot of very funny elements, but this is reality for a lot of gay men. You know, you're ready to do the deed. But Nick, go ahead. I just wanted to throw that in there because I thought it was hysterical.
No, I mean, that was hilarious, but I was going to ask about this Afrin spray situation.
Yeah.
Because like, let's be honest, I would have been the same way. I would have been bottoming and I'm like, I'm literally going to just explode blood all over this guy. Like, what? Like, is that like would that actually, clearly it worked, but like, how does that work? When you're getting fucked by somebody. I mean, yeah, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's the same thing with shaving your face. You know, you ever cut your face or you ever go to like a barber and they do a really, really great job, but it nicks a little bit. And it's so vascular that it doesn't stop bleeding. But they keep putting the astringent, or like with boxing, I know you love boys hitting each other. But with boxing, you know, the cutters, the people that clean up the faces, it's the same thing. So, you know, the body's pretty smart. It'll heal itself. And the location of it probably wasn't like on the direct impact of the fucking
zone. In the impact zone?
Yes, exactly. You know that sound. You know that sound.
So appropriate for the weekend after the Super Bowl. The end zone.
But with that said, it basically just makes the bleeding stop. And yes, the scab that formed there, he's hoping, I could envision that he was hoping, please, scab, stay there. Don't fall off. It would have been a nightmare.
He's probably holding his cheeks open like, just get the hole. That's it. Just the hole.
That might have worked for the guy.
Because, you know, the other thing, too, is that depending on the proximity of the cut to the butthole, when you go slab some lube on it, now you're putting something moist on the cut or the scab, which could potentially cause it to go away. So,
totally.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about just in general manscaping. Let's dive into it. So,
yes.
So in the story, it talks a little bit about shaving your butthole and why you shouldn't do it.
Well, I said that there's many ways that you can go about grooming, right? One is say, fuck it, this is who I am, and that's that. That's one mm-hmm. thing. The other is whether it's shaving, whether it's sugaring, whether it's waxing, whether it's laser hair removal. There's positives and negatives for all of it. I think when you look at a seasoned bottom that is saying to themselves, hey, I'm in this for the long haul, the reality is that laser hair removal is the best thing.
I will tell you.
Laser hair removal is by far the best.
Why are you staring at me when you say that?
No, I was gandering all over the place. I was moving around, seeing if I was getting anyone's attention. When you look at shaving and sugaring, what happens is you're not getting rid of the hair follicle.
What is sugaring?
Oh, it's like a waxing, but it's a little bit, it's more natural. And some people feel like they get a little bit smoother from an end result. But at the end of the day, all of those don't get rid of the hair follicle. So what happens is whatever hair you have there is gone. It's very temporary. But the problem is the hair follicles can grow back in a really fucked up way. And so when you start seeing people with like pimples, or first of all, you can get rashes just from waxing and sugaring and shaving, right? Those like razor burns or pimples that develop. Then when the hair follicle starts to grow back, you can get pimples, you can get ingrown hairs. It starts to look gross over time, unfortunately. And I see a lot of complications with people doing razors because they don't clean it. Or the throwaways, they'll use a trimmer first. That trimmer is the same thing they use for their hair or their roommate's hair or their cat or whatever it is. And so it just winds up being, it's never fully, fully clean. And in that area, if you nick or you cause irritation, you can develop HPV and anal warts. You can develop tears. You can develop a lot of localized infections. So I think the key first when I tell people is you have to decide where you want to be. So there are some people that are like, well, right now I want to be smooth. Maybe next year I want to be hairy. It just depends on who I see. Well, then laser hair removal may not necessarily be the best for you, because there's really, yes, there are definitely people after laser hair that still can grow, but it doesn't grow to that degree. So you have to kind of make a decision to be like, okay, which pathway do I want to go? But I think that if you're like, hey, I want to be smooth, I want all the boys to like have access to that and not have issues from hair being there, I think laser hair is the best bang for your buck.
5 years running, still no hair.
Proud of you. Well, but you, it's probably a little bit easier for you ladies because of, you know, the estrogen that you ladies naturally produce, which makes you inherently less hairier than men as a result.
However,
right?
We probably do it a lot more than men do, and so laser is the way to go.
That's
money
amazing.
I have spent.
Also, it's definitely, it's texture of skin, the coarseness of the hair. It depends on your upbringing and your background. There's tons of people that I see who are totally, totally smooth all over. And then even in females that are like hairy everywhere, and it just becomes like, how do you control the beast? And with that said, there's many different, obviously, modalities. Now, one of the things is that when, first of all, I don't know, and this is for your listeners, when people are shaving, like, what position do you shave? Like, how do you guys, is it like through the legs? Do you put an arm behind? Are you looking in the mirror? Are you doing like an
squat,
iPhone
baby.
Exchange
You
thing?
Stand in front squat. Of the mirror and you squat.
Standing in front and you're squatting. How do you do it, eh?
I put the mirror on the floor.
How do I do it?
Yeah.
Tell us, Nick, please.
She doesn't shave.
No, I do shave. I haven't shaved in a while because I'm celibate, but that's beside the point. I lube it up in the shower and I pull my cheek apart, put my leg up, and I just go for it. I don't look.
That's dangerous.
I just feel.
That's what I'm saying. People don't. So there's many different ways that people do it. And there are definitely people that have a profession because they do it to other people. And so that is obviously the best approach if you're going shaving, simply because someone is actually looking at it the right angle, understands the grooming techniques, understands the angles of the skin to make sure that you're not causing nicks and trauma and issues associated with it.
Date a butt barber and then you can make it a thing.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
You don't even have to. Foreplay.
Well, you make a great point. So I've been a licensed cosmetologist for many years, and part of our licensing was, you know, doing skincare and waxing. And it's very important to wax in the direction, or apply the wax in the direction of the growth of the hair, and then pull it off in the opposite direction.
That sounds so painful.
And a lot of people don't realize that there is a specific method to use. It's very important because in the end, like you said, not doing it correctly, not using the right products, not using the right prepping could lead to bumps, ingrown hairs, irritation,
tears,
bleeding. So it is very important to be able to do that, you know, correctly.
And I think one of the main things is whatever you're doing, don't rush.
Because
at the end of the day, you know, it's so interesting. I remember one of my birthday parties, I think my 40th birthday, I literally was shaving like a half an hour before people were coming over. And of course, you know, I caught the edge. I'm bleeding everywhere. And like, I always have this, like, you know, the same thing. Think about on your ass. And I remember one of my friends was just like, don't shave the day of a party, buddy. Don't shave the day of a party. It's just so true because you know something bad's going to happen.
So I was reading the story, and all I could imagine was while he was running and telling his roommates to get the fuck out of the way, is that he gets to the bathroom, opens the drawer. Oh, there's a trimmer. He won't know. Grabs the trimmer, plugs it in, starts and puts it back. And I'm like, oh my God, I can see something like this happening. Like, you know, if you're living with roommates, there's a chance that all of your grooming materials are all in the same spot in some way.
You can count on that.
You can, especially with men. And so I can just see him just grabbing someone's like mustache trimmer and just going to town. And like, he won't know the difference and just puts it back. Poor guy. You know.
I was like, when we were working on this piece, I could totally see it too. I was like, this is like either like a Friends episode or like an East Ender. What is it? East Siders with Kit Williamson. Some of the interesting of like, get the fuck out of my way, pushing everybody. Like, he's so excited. He's about to get this guy inside of him. And then obviously shit goes awry.
Literally.
But this led me when I was kind of, you know, starting my practice in New York and LA at Bespoke, there's so many issues with gay culture that happens that nobody talks about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're little things, but like these things are super, super important and people need to understand. And so when I was looking at, all right, well, how do I surgically correct people's issues? Obviously, all of these other issues started to come about, where I said, okay, let's first define what the issues are, even if they're super minuscule and they're super tiny issues, and then figure out ways that we can approach it from a community perspective. And that was led me to kind of expand Bespoke Surgical's role of not only surgical corrections, but obviously the aesthetic piece, which was how do I make it look pretty from a surgical perspective and make it functional, but then how do we start bringing in the different aesthetic pieces to our practice here and you know, and allow everybody to get even beyond just the surgical correction. And that was where, when we were writing this, we said, all right, you know what? Let's start doing laser hair removal. Let's start doing anal bleaching, though now we're trying to get into more of kind of being gentler with, instead of it anal bleaching, more anal depigmentation, certain things like that. Doing a little bit more of creating the appropriate aesthetics that we need, instead of it being like a hodgepodge of someone going to like, you know, a female-centered laser practice and saying, hey, I want anal approaches, and then just be like, oh yeah, I think this is the way that it's the right way for it to be done. And the realistic picture is that, no, it's a completely different area, it's a completely different community, and how do we kind of really support it in the best way?
So That's amazing. But you were talking about laser hair removal, and we were talking about downfalls of both shaving and laser hair. What are the downfalls of laser? Is there really any downfalls?
Yes, please ruin my life again.
So tell. There's nothing. No, there's no downfalls. I think one, you need to make sure that you go to an experienced location.
Yeah.
One specifically that is going to be if you're only anal. All right. How many people have you treated in this way? And how are you approaching it? Obviously, you want an appropriate provider to understand the different types of hair that is in that region, specifically your own, making sure that they're able to titrate the laser to a certain depth of penetration so that you're able to do what you need to do and not burn, cause complications associated with that. It is a laser, right? And it's just going a certain depth for your follicle to make sure that it gets that, but you don't want it to necessarily go beyond that. And also, as you're getting closer to the asshole, literally, the skin is very, very fragile. And so if that's not taken into consideration, you can wind up tearing and having associated issues with that as well. I think one of the things is that people think, first of all, it's a little pricey, so that's a little bit of a downfall. But I do think that now, because it's kind of, there's a lot out there that the lasers are cheaper and much more inexpensive. Obviously, it depends on the coarseness of your hair as to how many times you actually need to do it and what kind of, during the year, do you have touch-ups that you need to do to get you where you need to go? And it hurts. I mean, it's not like, you got to take one for the team. You know what I'm saying? You're holding on.
Yeah.
You know?
So Elsie, you've experienced laser hair removal. In your opinion, in areas that are very delicate, like our groin and like your vajayjay area, in your experience, what was your recovery time and what issues did you experience with that?
So in terms of pain, the pain goes away as soon as the light moves away from the follicle. So you feel the heat being absorbed by your follicle and it hurts while that's happening, and then it goes away. So you don't have the after effect of waxing where it's still irritated for a while. And then depending on the coarseness of your hair, to his point, you'll have bumps because you now have the follicles under your skin that they've gone through trauma, right? So you'll get little bumps. But as your body gets rid of the burnt follicles, that the bumps go away. So recovery time, depending again on the coarseness and amount of hair, you're looking at maybe 2 days.
Okay.
Can you have full on intercourse
as right after?
Yeah.
I wouldn't, because it's the same as shaving. If the area is irritated, you're gonna make it worse.
What about the butthole, Dr. G?
Yeah, most people wait, and let everything kind of settle down over the next couple of days. But, it just really depends. We do a lot of soothing creams post and certain kind of instructions to get people where, you want to go. But yes, what happens is it penetrates that hair follicle. The hair follicle, obviously, kind of you lose that, but you do get these bumps in that area. Finally, it kind of falls out and then you're done. With that said, though, it's smooth, it's contoured, it doesn't have pimple growth in it or rehair, regrowth, and it really allows things to kind of be that,
right,
mm-hmm.
Pretty
yummy and pretty
picture perfect asshole. Yes.
So in all of this, throughout the entire article, what I'm getting is obviously don't rush. But I find that this individual on a very short notice just started doing way too many things way too quickly. Obviously, he was showering, shaving, irritating areas of the skin that were going to potentially be
exposed
and poked at by this amazing, delirium of penis and Adonis that he was expecting. But he was also douching. He was literally douching minutes or probably minutes before intercourse. Is it recommended to immediately jump into intercourse shortly after douching in such a period of time?
It depends on the extent of how you're douching. The reality is you would love for people to be quicker, think about this before and then plan much more, but sometimes it doesn't happen like that. So I think one is plenty of people don't douche and they don't need to, and they're clean. And the way they can tell is by sticking up a toy in there seeing how clean they are before. So sometimes if it's too quick, you can just put a toy in, see how it is, like, oh, it's clean, great, don't douche. The other is if you are douching, which he, I believe in that story, did was he did a very gentle rinse and then used a toy right after so it got rid of any residual fluid that potentially would be there where you could kind of be a little bit on the fly. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. With that being said, one of the things with the company Future Method that we've spoken about before was because it doesn't dry you out, it leaves this silky texture that even though if you're doing it quickly, it's the volume is a lot less, but it leaves you lubricated, where I think it really, really helps as a quick, hey, how can I get clean but still be fast and efficient?
That's exactly where I was trying to get. So being that we've already gone there, Dr. G, Future Method, tell us what it is, because we want our listeners to know about it. Obviously, there are bottoms out there that do probably have no idea what they're missing with this product. And so let's cover that very quickly.
Yeah, sure. So similar to kind of what we're talking about with the hair issue, you know, we really pinpointed that there's a lot of issues in our community and how do we put products and services to support everybody. And that was our first launch into it was this appropriate anal douche solution, which is not only a solution, but is a methodology of how to deliver it. Most people are over douching. They're using water. And the way they're delivering the douche substance is quite toxic to the insides. So a lot of people are dried out. The bacteria is not, you know, effectively where it should be. Higher risk of STDs, HIV, and injury. So the goal for us was how do we kind of bring an understanding to the space specifically of this issue? And then not only that, correct it that if people are douching, how do we now use a solution that is not toxic, not going to dry you out, doesn't cause harmful effects, but gets you where you want to be. And some of that is not only the solution, but it's also the methodology of less is more, fiber supplementation, diet, exercise, and then obviously using a solution that's targeted specifically to allow people to get as clean as they want and as fast as they want.
So I have to say that Dr. G sent us a package. The Future Method with three different, three applications, but actually
I feel like Vanna White.
It's two per bag, and I finally tried it out.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing. Like, it was the best douche I've ever experienced. Like, legit, thank you, because, like, I was sitting on the, this is gross, but I was sitting on the toilet and, like, letting everything, you know, flush out, whatever, and I was like, this literally, it feels so, like, not good coming out, but it just feels so, like, natural. Like, it doesn't feel like an enema, which is just, like, you're pushing out water. It's just, like, calm. It's comfortable. It doesn't, like, irritate anything. It was literally a great douche.
So you're such a great spokesperson, and I love you. Thank you.
So, everybody, try the Future Method.
And just so that you guys know, I want to thank Dr. G's team and, of course, the great doctor for allowing us to have our own specialized discount code for all you guys out there. You can go to the website, futuremethod.com. You can search the products, see what they have. They have individual sale of products, and they also have a subscription-based service that you can use. And in either case, for one particular order, your amazing people gave us a code, GayTalk20, and you guys get 20% off either an individual sale or an actual 20% off a subscription. So if you want to check out the product, that's also an opportunity for you guys to get savings on that as well.
Yeah, and I think the key for me is, yes, obviously I love the product because we created it, but I think the issue for me is more of education, and also if you're not using the product, that's fine. Look at some of the methodologies that we've put into this so that you can hopefully transfer it over into your own douching routine so that we can minimize. Because it's not only the water solution that's causing problems. It's that people are using enormous bulbs or shower hoses, or they're doing it way too many times and it's not actually anatomically getting in the right space, especially where average cock is going to be. And so I think it's understanding anatomy. It's understanding all of these different things that are truly, truly going to help you just have a better bottoming practice moving forward.
So, Dr. G, is the bulb already sized to the amount that's already recommended? Or
exactly. Yeah. You know, what I see is a lot of the bulbs that are out there now are way too big. And their actually applicators go way further than where you would actually want it to be. So strategically, I made it smaller because I didn't want the overdouching to be an issue, because we started to see so many people with overdouching, and I see it all the time. They're like, oh, okay, I do it two times. Like, oh, you know what? Let me do it one more time. And they do the third time, and then they see shit. And it's because it's going higher than where actually you would actually sexually be. So if I didn't give them the opportunity to go higher, that's why the douche bulb is smaller, because the goal is to clean out the anal rectal area, not your fucking colon.
So the last question I have, and it's off of future method, but it is about trimming and keeping clean, is the balls. Yeah. The balls.
Yeah.
They're impossible. They make me so nervous. They make me so nervous every time I go to, you know, trim them up and or shave them. Can you get LASIK on your balls?
So, yes, you can get it anywhere you want. You know, again, that skin is very thin, very fragile. There are definitely people really that do that. And it's like, I mean, oh my God, I'm thinking about it now. My poor left testicle. Oh my God. And there's no right answer with the balls, because it's like, you know, it's like, at least with the ass, you know, once you spread it, it's kind of an even playing field. With the balls, it's like you lose it. It goes to the left. It goes to the right. It's like extra skin. It's not easy. I don't know. I don't know the right answer.
Oh, God.
Well, once upon a time when I used to shave my balls, now I just trim down the hairs just to make sure they're not overly long. I used to literally just push everything up and then start from the bottom and work my way up and then push everything down and stretch the skin and shave.
Because
what you want to try.
Nicks.
Yeah, what you're trying to avoid is trying to shave over the actual wiggly thingamajiggies inside your balls, because they're going to move on you and you're going to end up cutting yourself, your testicles, right?
And that hurts. And then, like, of course, you're walking around, it's in your underwear, and, like, you just feel it every time you're moving. I've had that happen to me before. It's terrible.
It's horrible. You know,
I think the key is there's many different ways for you to achieve your grooming techniques. I think it's everybody just taking a little bit to educate themselves on all the different things that are out there, and then for people to realize the positives and negatives for both. Check out, we do a lot with medium.com, and you can search under Bespoke Surgical. Tomorrow we're coming out with similar type of approach with anal bleaching and kind of whitening in that area, and kind of understanding why we kind of branched into this aesthetic portion and what separates us from what's going on right now, specifically to our community.
How do you feel about anal bleaching as a doctor?
Well, I think, you know, the problem is
myself.
So anal bleaching, I think the problem is the terminology of anal bleaching is it's very harsh, right? The bleaching components. But nowadays there's a lot of really great ways to achieve lightening and depigmentation in the area. I think I've seen it look so amazing on people. It just kind of depends on what look you're going for. That area is very similar to underarms and, you know, crotch area, where it's darker. It's where the sun doesn't shine. Sometimes it becomes a little bit irregular in terms of its coloration. And so the key is, how do you kind of gently make it a fading component where it looks more appetizing? There's there's a peach for everybody, you know?
That's amazing. Well, obviously there's a lot of information that we unpacked here, but I want to thank you for, again, you know, meeting us every month and coming on the show and talking about things that could help a lot of people in our community, especially a lot of the male bottoms that find themselves in situations that, you know, could affect them. And Nick's learned a lot, and I'm sure that he's, you know, although he's still single, just saying.
No, but the first, like, year or so, I was, like heavy in a relationship and having great sex, so that was helpful at the time.
But the information is always helpful. But anyway, the point I was trying to make is we're super appreciative that you're taking time out of your day to be with us and to educate our listeners and ourselves, and it's always fantastic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you so much. And yeah, we'll keep going. And then Nick, maybe you come into town, we'll laser your ass. And
I think it needs a little bit more than that. So we'll start at the beginning and work our way
after
up.
After the laser,
and we'll make it happen. All right, everybody, have a good night. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye, Dr.
All right,
bye.
Thanks, Dr. G.
Bye. Bye. Take care.
All right, guys. Well, that was, of course, the incredible Dr. G. He's just he's a ham, isn't he?
He is. He really is a ham.
And when he
makes
started,
makes me want to get a penis.
Well, you have the asshole, which is basically what.
This is true. I'm like halfway there, which is why I'm a plus. Well, we talked about this.
That's why I'm a plus.
But I'm just saying that, you know, if you think that you have issues or you want to just sort of kind of have your butthole inspected, he's perfectly capable.
A butt is a butt. This is true.
Yeah, that's right. It's used for the same thing for males, females, or anyone or in between. So
I know. It's a great equalizer, the asshole.
That's right.
Yeah.
I find.
It's a great equalizer. Okay.
Oh, my God. I freaking love her. All right. Well, listen, guys. That was an amazing conversation with the great doctor. Obviously, we have an appointment with him every month. And so, you guys, you know, if you're interested in learning more, we have more topics from the great doctor on a monthly basis. So stick around and make sure that you watch out for Tales from the Tail with the great Dr. G. We are obviously going to go on break because we need to take a break, sort of kind of refuel. And then when we come back, we have the dish. So here we go.
It's hard to see you with a man you call your friend, but in the end, I know I don't have much time to tell you why I wanna die, but then I cry, so then I lie, so I don't make you bend time. Cause if you wanted me to move, you know I would, because I'm good at making you love me. And if I said I needed more than I came for, would you ignore me making you love me? So baby,
you
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. Of course, that was Time by Pat Riley. And now, after a couple of trulies and several shots, as promised, we're going to bring you our, wait for it,
The Dish. I missed it, so it's
That's
fine.
Okay. So, yeah, it was a weird thing today, you know, scheduling. We had to sort of kind of move the show around. And so normally we couldn't open with our The Dish, and that we absolutely love. So we have a couple of stories that we want to run through, things that are happening in our community, of course, you know, that we've got certain things that we look forward to, like On This Day in Gay History and Mama Kim's Minute. So we're super excited. All right. So I was going through the, you know, the web pages and Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. And I ran into this ad by Starbucks.
Wait, we're not going to talk about our weekends?
You want to talk weekends?
I mean, that's The Dish.
Okay. Well, true. Okay. All right. So hard stop. Let me refocus. Let's do weekends. So let's talk about our weekends. So, Nick, why don't we start with you since you're so enthusiastically trying to tell us what you did this weekend.
Nothing really happened.
See, moving along. No, kidding. I cannot. All right. So, Nick, tell us. How was your weekend?
It was fine. I worked. But there was a funny story in there that I need to share.
Okay. Oh, God, I'm scared.
So one of my colleagues doesn't work with me, but I work with her at her organization and vice versa, whatever. She called me a couple of days ago and she was like, oh, my God, Nick, I have the perfect guy for you, which means steer clear. Don't do it. Right.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, all right.
No, do it. But go ahead.
I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt, whatever. So anyway. I was like, all right, well, I mean, like, how do you want to do this? Do you want to, like, set us up? Do you want to, you know, like, how do you want to, like, introduce us? Anyway, so Sunday night, I get an email from somebody I don't know.
I read it.
I'm going to read it.
Oh, it was hysterical.
Hold on, let me pull it up. And like, I know of this person, but not, like...
They don't know each other.
Right.
Like, they've never met. Right?
Correct.
So this would be like a blind date. It's like a blind date via email.
Pretty much. And so anyway, so hold on. I gotta get this email. Hold on.
I'm like so excited.
Right?
Oh, here it is. All right. So I'm going to omit names.
Please.
Hi,
do.
Nick. I'm friends with somebody. I'd like to introduce you to this other person. Betsy. Oh, fuck. said that you're a great guy with a big heart. I feel the same way about this person. Hi, this person. I would like to introduce you to Nick. Leaving the rest up to you two. Hope you guys have a great meeting over coffee. And here I am, like, this is my work email.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so, of course, now I have the person's name, and I'm like, all right, gonna stalk him.
Uh-huh.
Holy hell. So hot.
Beautiful.
So hot.
He's gorgeous.
Put together, has a good job. Like literally, I was like.
And you're put together and you have a great job and you do a lot for the community.
And you're so hot.
And you're so hot.
Yeah, but I don't feel that way about myself.
Oh, shut up.
So anyway.
You're crazy? Okay.
So this morning I was like.
Are we going to gang up on him and
beat
him down?
A little.
Yeah.
I was like.
I'm paying for this coffee, by the way.
So this morning I was like, hi, so-and-so. Thanks for the introduction. So-and-so, it's wonderful to e-meet you. All my contact information is below. Feel free to text or email. I would love to grab a coffee with you. I hope you're both having a great morning. I've heard nothing.
Oh.
When did you get this email?
Yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Calm down.
Yeah, give it at least 24
he's so
hours.
So hot. Like,
so
literally
are you.
Beautiful. Okay, fine.
I am so paying for this coffee. We're going to give him at least 48 hours.
So, Mr. Hotness, I just want to put it out there. This exists. It's called Future Method, and he's using it, so he's ready and prepped.
And willing.
It'll be a very, very good experience. I promise you that. I don't know personally, but I know. Because
we can go to coffee or cocktails.
Yes, of course. And Nick is one of my very best friends. So, you know, we talk about things not fully, but I understand and I know that he's wonderful. So do it. Respond.
That was just like, I was like, I don't know what to do. Hello?
I need to go back to these friends of yours at work. This is hysterical. So the concept of e-blind dating, this is interesting.
So what happened was my friend, who I didn't mention that I mentioned, and her friend that I didn't mention, were on lunch, and they were talking, and her friend was like, well, you know, I have this really good friend of mine, and he's single and he's a great guy, and I just want him to be happy and all
you
the stuff.
You thought he was ugly, didn't you?
I know. I had no idea. I had no idea who he was. And like,
what does it look like? Well, he's got a great personality.
No. She was like, he's very good looking. I was like, okay, whatever.
Oh, she wasn't lying.
No, and so I was like, so how did I
clearly?
How did I come up?
Hello.
I was like, how did I come up in this like conversation? And my friend was like, well, my friend was talking about how great this person is, and you're like that. You're like my
great person.
Great person. I love her.
You know
already.
What I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my god, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And then it just kind of like happened, and then she called me again to say like, okay, this is gonna happen. It's happening. Like, they're gonna email. It's gonna happen. I was like, wait, how is this gonna happen?
So Samantha, you're amazing. Make it happen.
Yeah. Also, ask if somebody has a friend, and we could just make it like a gang thing. You know?
Yeah, I want a boyfriend too.
So
and
do
she
I.
wants a boyfriend too.
Yeah, let's
or a girlfriend.
Get like a bitches are just too crazy. I can't.
Oh my god!
And they don't have penises. It's like a whole thing.
But you can get a strap on.
And then you have to deal with. They're gonna want to move in a week after our first date.
That's the
you
Instagram.
Know is that you can't.
That's true. Okay, so let's see which one. Oh,
I'm just letting her pick.
Okay, so you pick whatever picture you want to look up there. Obviously, we're not going to disclose this because this person needs to remain anonymous. Hello.
Right?
Gorgeous smile.
First of all, like, I feel less pretty than him, and that is a first for me.
Stop. Nick, you need to stop bringing yourself down.
You're not less pretty
You're
than
beautiful.
Anyone.
Right?
Yeah, okay. As you gasp every single picture you look at. Yeah. Wait. I was like, how the fuck is he single?
Really?
Yeah,
it's,
like that's
it's because he hasn't met you.
That's aww. Right. So that e-date needs to happen. So we're rooting for Nick to have his e-date.
Ooh, let's go through his friends list and see who Tommy and I like, and then we could all six of us. And then, you know, it'd be just like a casual, you know, group hang.
But it was so crazy because, like, I finally got, like, I knew his first name, but I didn't know his last name.
Let's
and so,
the guns.
Hello.
He is wearing
jacked.
A jet out of that t-shirt.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so I finally get his last name, and I look him up. Pops up right on Instagram, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I was like, should I email him right now? Should I do it now? And I was like, no, I'll do it tomorrow morning.
It's like,
and there's this one photo.
His
no,
socks
there's this.
Cute.
There's this. That whole photo is about his socks. Not that I've been stalking his Instagram. But anyway.
But he has. Just letting you know.
Look at his hairline. Look at the guns. He is wearing the shit out of those socks. You know what? I'm paying for this coffee.
I will contribute to that cause. Or, you know, we can, like, again, like Elsie suggested, we can go through your friends list. We can find people that we're interested in, and we can all go. We'll go into the city. We'll go to Beer Wax.
We'll go to Beer Wax.
So, and then we'll all have custom craft beer, courtesy right. of Elsie, her partners, and everyone at Beer Wax.
Absolutely.
Right? So...
Yes.
We need to make this happen. Okay.
This is happening.
We're going to, it's in Brooklyn, right?
It's in Brooklyn.
Well,
it's in
Brooklyn. He has to respond to my email first.
Oh.
He will.
He will.
So, if he waits 3 days, I will judge him because that's fucking lame.
So before we move forward, since we mentioned beer wax, I want to give you 5 seconds. Well, no, 5 minutes. Tell us what beer wax is, because I know you are an amazing person, an amazing entrepreneur. You have great partners and a great business and great tasting beer, which we have yet to taste, by the way, because she's been here on the show like 900 times and said she was going to bring some, but she hasn't done so.
On Monday, I promise.
Next Monday, it's coming. So tell us a little bit about beer wax.
So beer wax is a craft beer bar. In Brooklyn, our owner, Chris Maestro, has done a great job with the space and the concept. Lots of 90s hip-hop, and you'll find a couple of other really great gems from 1990s and 80s. We have an outdoor space, which we actually partner with a local winemaker. And they actually harvest the grapes on our backyard. That serves as kind of like the shading area for our beer garden. And
that's
so this,
incredible.
The space is amazing. So you guys definitely should check it out. Let them know Elsie sent you. They'll treat you real well. It's a great experience. The space is amazing. You guys will love it. And plus, great beer.
Fuck that shit.
Why have we not been there yet?
Because you guys are lame, unsupportive assholes.
Oh, hello. Fuck that shit about, like, please say Elsie said, you know, bitch, we're going to walk in with Elsie. Because that's how we do.
And then our tab is covered. Hello.
Not quite, but, you know.
Because, you know, support.
So one of the
amazing... Fine, I'll pay $5.
Okay, fine.
So one of the amazing things that and I've been following your success, and congratulations, by the way. One of the amazing things that you do is that you take local artists and you bring a lot of their stuff in, vinyl. You guys do a lot of different, like, things. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. We have live DJs on rotation, you know, Friday nights and Saturday nights. It's super exciting. The music is amazing. The crowd is amazing. There's a great mix of age groups. So, you know, you're not going to feel like that ad person where the crowd is just way too young or way too old. It's an amazing space, and I'm very grateful to be part of this with Chris.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So I'm proud of you. So we're going to have to take a trip. Maybe we'll record an episode at Beer Wax.
I know.
Why don't we?
Well, actually, we have a space upstairs. Away from all the noise.
We don't need to be away from all the noise.
It will be right in front of
everybody. We want these bitches to know who the fuck we are here at K-Talk 2.0.
That would be amazing. We can definitely do that. That would be super exciting.
We'll pack up the equipment and we'll head there.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
Yeah. That could potentially work.
Yes. Yes. I'm excited.
And then you'll be a guest host yet again.
I know.
I'm sorry. I do need to address the fact that we're missing our actual host on the show, Chris. Chris is, she's nasty.
It's his birthday on Wednesday.
It is.
Today?
Wednesday.
Oh.
So I wanted to let you guys know that Chris, you know, he currently has a semester in which unfortunately is conflicting with schedules on the show, and we miss him dearly. And, but, you know, he's doing what he's got to do. So we have to support. He will be back after the semester.
And he'll be here when he can.
Yeah, of course.
Semester,
so we have a holiday coming up, a President's Day. I think he's going to be able to be in studio with us. But we do miss him. We miss him dearly.
We miss you, Chris.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why Elsie's sitting here with us. She's been so gracious in lending her time to join us so that it's not just us two boring ass bitches.
Guys are grateful to have me.
We love having you.
So that being said, let's move into some stories.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Yeah, you take it away.
All right. So Starbucks, motherfucking Starbucks. I cannot get enough of their newest commercial. So Starbucks calls on a trans man by his name in a heartwarming ad that you guys must watch. We're going to post it on tonight's post, but the ad itself was just so heartwarming. I would play it, but then we would need to be silent. And, you know, me and Dead Air, we just don't get along. But
we know.
What is silent?
Right. That's what I said. And so, but we will post it on tonight's post. I will also post it on Twitter and Facebook for Gay Talk. You guys need to watch it. It's very heartwarming. It's very endearing. It shows the agony of a woman transitioning into a man. and the struggle that she's going through living in a society that unfortunately are, you know, dealing with or not understanding the fact that it is important for us to be able to be called or be seen how we identify, and what that, what peace and fulfillment that brings to us as a person. And in this ad, when she, you know, out of all the places that she's visiting, whether it's whether it's a medical facility, whether it's being at home or having family gatherings, he shows up at Starbucks and they ask him, what is your name? And he says, James. And so they write it down on the cup and then they call his name when he's ready to pick up his order. And he picks it up and he starts drinking his delicious coffee and just walks out with such pride and such
comfort.
Comfort.
Because the coffee was literally made for him.
Yes, it was. And it was beautiful. And so you need to watch it. I'm proud and way to go, Starbucks, for doing this. I'm really starting to see a lot of corporations send these types of messages out. These are important for our community. It is important to be seen. It is important to be understood.
Mm-hmm. And recognized.
And recognized.
You know, it reminds me of a story. Well, an incident that I experienced. I was bartending. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I work at a gay bar. And a transgender female came into the bar. And I had started a tab. I took the card. And I'm looking at the card. And I realize it's a masculine name. And I look at the person, I was like, I'm sorry, but I hope this doesn't offend you, but I just want to know what your name is so I can put it on your tab. And the person got teary-eyed and said, thank you for asking me that, gave me their name, and I wrote their name down correctly on the tab. But it's like that moment of like, my legal name is still on my credit card, but that's not my name.
Yeah.
And having
that's powerful,
and that having the capacity to at least have that moment, it may offend somebody, but so it was like one of those. It was kind of a risk I took, but I was also like at that place where I felt like it was necessary to at least ask.
Hell yeah, it was. You're in a safe space. You're in a gay bar, and if you walk in and you say to me, my name is Crystal, I'll use that as an example, and your card may say your name is Greg, I want to recognize the fact that you're in a safe space, and I want to call you by your name, your Crystal. And yes, eventually we can see that, you know, oh, when you close your tab, yeah, it'll say Greg on the card. It's something that you signed. But to me, you're in a safe space. You're Crystal. And that's what I want to address you as. And that's what I want you to understand that, you know. You're seen.
I know it sounds super, super cheesy, but it's kind of one of my rhetorics where you might not be able to have a huge platform to make an impact, but for that person, you did. Mm-hmm. And that's an incredible thing to be able to do for that one person.
Mm-hmm.
So in the bar that we work at Partners Cafe in New Haven, you know, shout out to them. And thank you. But every month we host a Diva Social, and it is a trans gathering of, mm-hmm. of women that come into the bar, and over again you see this scenario play out. And so what I do is, you know, I make sure that first and foremost they are addressed by the name that they want to be addressed by, because that is important. Identity is important, and being acknowledged is important. And then, you know, everything else just falls into place. But like you, I make it a point to know who they are as they want to be seen.
It was, you know, it's actually funny. It's not funny because a couple weeks ago, we had somebody in that comes in all the time and I know them by their name. You know, I know them not by their given name. I know them by the name that they've chosen or have grown into. And somehow the credit cards got a little mixed up. And I'm not going to blame anybody, but I'm going to blame one person, but I'm not going to say it out loud, and you know who I'm talking about.
Uh-huh, okay, it happens.
Yeah, uh-huh. And so I swiped, because I didn't know the person's name, I swiped the wrong card and I brought it over to the person and I acknowledged the person as I always do. We always talk. And they were like, this isn't my card. I was like, fuck.
And now I have to sit here and ask you
what's your legal name
on the card is.
Oh my God. It was so terrible. I felt so bad. I felt so fucking bad.
You know, and this is the challenges that as employees of a bar, of a gay bar, that we have to go through. We don't want to disrespect anyone on purpose.
And we honestly, at the end of the day, I was doing everything right. I mean, like, I knew this person by this name, and that's the name I've always known. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wrote on the tab. I didn't even look at the card because I know the person.
Yeah.
And that's just how it all unfolded. And it just got so complicated, and I felt so terrible.
So I think what I'm going to do, and this is for me, is bring sticky notes. And you know how the sticky notes have that little sticky part of it? I'm going to write on the card the name of the person as they identify as, and then sticky it to the card before we put it in our filing.
How very proactive of you.
Because I think it would make it easier for everyone, right, and file it under the name that they want to be known as rather than the name that's on the card. Because it is important. I've said it before. If you're in a gay bar, that should be a safe space for every single member, mm-hmm, of our community.
Because we encompass everybody.
That we need to be better. We need to do more for our community, and especially the trans community.
Yeah, we're having somebody that's awesome on the show next week, and I can't wait to have them, they, her, she on. It's going to be a great conversation, but in meeting her, in talking to her about having her on the show, I said, just so you know, our show is called Gay Talk 2.0, but we make sure to have every facet of the LGBTQ QAI plus community on the show, and it's really important for us to have representation of the entire community on our show. And in having that conversation with her, I think it put her or they at ease to join us. Because we have, and we do care and want to give and shine light on every aspect of our community.
We know how important it is. Identity is extremely important.
Including the plus.
That's right. Including the plus is sitting over here. But, you know, I always say visibility is our biggest strength, right? And that includes all of us. We cannot all be successful or achieve our goals if we're not united and together. And that's harder to do than it is to say. There's a lot of work that we need to do on that aspect, but I am confident that doing what we're doing here and seeing spaces like, for example, the New Haven Pride Center and other Pride Centers all over the United States that are really pushing that message forward, I think that we're going to get there as a community. And it's beautiful.
Yes, if we all do our parts.
We have to. So again, going back to Starbucks, thank you. Thank you for doing that. And I ask that all of the allies that we have in corporations all over America start stepping up and doing the right thing and acknowledging that we exist and we're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Before a transgender individual beats the fuck out of you.
That's right. So speaking of that, Nick, why don't you jump into your story and tell us what you discovered? Because I've seen the video and I thought it was, while I think violence is never the answer, I think this is very important.
Well, this is actually, I mean, I had this story last week, but Mama Kim sent it to us, so it won't be in Mama Kim's minute, I guess, now. But anyway, so two trans women beat the crap, well, what the title says, snot out, of men harassing them in a restaurant. And so me and Tom were watching this earlier, and I'm laughing. And I'm like, what does that mean? Because they're speaking
Spanish.
Thank you. Uh-huh. And I'm like, what does that mean? What were they saying?
So they were like,
what did you say? What did you say?
¿Qué tú dijiste? ¿Qué tú dijiste?
They were beating the crap out of this guy. I'm telling you. Like, well, to be fair, the guy was going at them too. But the girls took the motherfucker out. Like, took him out, and the other guy that was with him was like, oh, God, I'm stopping, I'm backing away. And whole time, she's like, what the fuck did you say? What did you say? And I'm, like, just laughing. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the video, I look at Tom, and I'm like, you know, that's funny, but it's not funny.
It's not. And, you know, they were simply just there, two transgender women sitting down, having something to eat possibly after maybe a night out.
They weren't bothering anybody.
They weren't bothering anybody. And this fucking asshole decides to start making smart remarks and didn't realize.
Literally got up, moved into their booth to give and sat next to them and started giving them shit.
Yeah. I mean, they asked for it.
They're coming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't advocate violence at all, but you're being super abusive.
Yeah.
Would you have done that to someone who you thought was normative? Like, would you have done that?
Mm-hmm. No.
You did this on the basis of whom I identify as, and you think that shit is okay, now you can go fuck yourself.
And they got what was coming to them. I mean, when I tell you these two women beat the shit out of this man.
One of them took off their heel. I'm like,
yeah,
he got it.
But this is how entitled you are to think that it's okay for you to infringe on somebody else's space. So you see them as less human less as than. You are uh-huh. that because you would not fucking do that to some butchy man that can kick your ass.
That's right.
You assume that these were two victims upon whom you can prey. I'm sorry.
Well, they learned their lesson.
I'm not sorry.
But let's be honest here. Let's look at it for what it is. Have these two women that come and sit in a restaurant. They're not doing anything but enjoying a meal. And this guy who thinks that he can just go up and attack these women
and spew his hate
gets put the fuck down. I mean, it's not funny. Because of the situation, no one should have to feel that way when they walk into a restaurant. But within right. the LGBTQIA plus community, I'm trying to get it. It happens constantly. It continually happens. No matter where I go, what time of night it is, even in New Haven, I'm always like aware of my
Five
surroundings.
Eyes. Uh-huh.
I'm right. aware of my surroundings. And I should not have to feel that way. Transgender people should not have to feel that way. No one should have to fucking feel that way. And the fact that these men think that they, as white cisgender men, fucking...
Well, I don't think they were white. They were Latino, obviously. I think this happened in a Spanish setting, and so they could have been Latinos.
Sorry, in the video they look pretty
which
white.
Makes it even better, right? Because this whole machismo thing, this whole thing
oh,
about
true,
you know, we're macho and men are supposed to do manly things, and seeing men, you know, that were men and now are women coming into the space, and I feel like I have the right to go up and say, "Hey, you," and what the fuck, and I'm like, "No, bitch, she tore your ass down." Exactly how she should have, and that'll teach you some manners and it'll teach you a lesson to not mess with people. She wasn't doing anything. They weren't doing anything. They were simply just trying to have a meal, have
the
little
is,
kiki,
why?
And go
why?
The way. Because people are fucking stupid.
But, like, why?
Because people are fucking stupid.
The why I don't get. I just still don't get it. People can be stupid. That's fine. People can be ignorant. That's fine. But you're sitting there having a meal with somebody. Enjoy your fucking meal. Why do two people that have nothing to do with you, that aren't bothering you,
right?
Why do you have to then go and address a situation that does not affect you at all?
Right.
And that's not actually a situation. It's two people eating.
Right. Yeah, it's not. They right. were doing nothing out of the ordinary that any other human being under normal circumstances would do. You're there to eat. You're there to nourish your body, whether you're a man or a female. We do it the same way.
Also, their weave / wigs look way better than the men. Just saying.
But they didn't even... It was the whole thing, again, you know, I don't advocate violence, but in this case, these two perpetrators absolutely deserved every single punch, kick, heel hit that they received throughout that entire
video.
Well,
if they were to behave just as abusively to any other person,
uh-huh.
male or female, we would be glorifying that behavior. It's not any different. It's a conversation I have all the time. It's not any different. How dare you? What mindset justifies that mm-hmm. to you? That it's okay for you to be so abusive to two people that have nothing to do with you?
Yeah,
they're not in your space. They are not doing anything that affects you in any way. They're eating. You're going around being an asshole to people who go to restaurants and eat.
Yeah, it blows on. I mean, I'll take it back all the way. I mean, I think we talked about this years ago on the show. But when I was in college, I was living in a dorm and I had great friends.
Oh, God, this is hysterical.
I had great friends. I had a great community. I was so out. I was so myself.
Duh.
But there were I used to be a football player. Like, I used to be a part of a team, and they were so supportive of me. And these fuckers started shit with me one night when I was coming home. And you know me, at this point, I've probably drank too much. So I'm going at them. I get straight up pulled into the dorm because I'm now this...
belligerent.
Not belligerent, but I was like up against five football players. Oh. This one little guy, and I'm little, but like this one guy up against five football players, but I wasn't standing down. So I get pulled into the dorm by our RA to calm down, whatever. The next day... the next fucking day, I come home and somebody took, because like in your dorm, you have your names on the walls in different, like for different seasons, the RA will put it like in a leaf or a heart or whatever. Well, it was a leaf. They took my name off the wall, went, took a shit, wiped their ass with it, and slid it under my door.
I thought they stuck it on the door back.
They slid it under my door.
Oh, my God.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm not kidding you, but that's the shit we deal with. Like, that's the shit you have to deal with. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's really interesting.
Because you're insecure about yourself, and I'm so secure in who I am, you feel the need to attack me.
Right. That's really interesting, because I actually had a conversation today with someone who asked what I was doing with my evening, and I said to them, oh, I'm recording my friend's podcast. Well, what is it called? So we get into the whole subject matter of the show, right? And his question was, well, are you gay? And I'm like, I don't understand your question. What does it matter what I am? And people seem to have a problem with the fact that I don't feel the need to correct people's perception of my sexuality. Like, I don't... I'm a Sagittarius. How is anything else of any consequence to my existence upon this fucking earth, right? And he says to me, well, and this almost sounded cartoonish to me. Like, I gave him the benefit of the doubt because I'm like, clearly he's just being an asshole and this must be a joke. Because he says to me, when I said, you know, we talk about civil rights and, you know, legislation that affects the LGBTQ community, plus IA.
Yes, girl.
I have them. And he says to me, well, is that even still a thing? Like, they can get married now. So what's the problem? And I actually like this person, but he makes it really, really hard for me to want to be his friend. Because I'm like, where have you lived any time over the past ever? Like, yeah. Are you serious? Is this serious? And then I seriously said to him, and he thinks that I'm too intense about everything. I don't know what he means. I'm not dramatic or anything. And he says to me, well, I just don't understand. I didn't really think that, you know, gay rights and civil rights violation against the community was really an issue still. And I'm like, yeah, when somebody shits on my leaf name tag and shoves it under my fucking door in this century, yes. It's still a big fucking problem. Mm-hmm. He's making it really hard for me to be his friend.
Mister, I don't know your name, and I'm sure I won't, but I will say this. We've had marriage equality in this country as of 2015, and no, our problems have not gone away.
At all.
Yes, we have rights that we didn't have before, but with that comes a lot of pushback, and especially from the current administration. We have had... our information on AIDS and HIV awareness completely removed from a government website. We have had a person who is supposed to be our head of state, a president, literally come out and attack our transgender community. He has passed executive orders ordering military branches to not honor the service that these beautiful, amazing people have actually done all of their lives, whether it was as a man or a woman, and then they became a man or a woman. The important thing is here that is our freedoms are still under attack. And while we do have, you know, the amazing ability to marry the person that we love, the person that we want to spend the rest of our lives with, there's still so much struggle for other members of our community that we still need to deal with. There are still people, states. There are over 14 states currently that are still introducing legislation, anti-LGBT legislation, to suppress the rights of members of our community. So no, our work is not done. No, just because we got marriage equality at a national level does not mean that we should sit down, sit idly, and cross our legs and twiddle our thumbs like nothing is happening. We are still under attack, and we still have to fight, and we still have to rise every day, and we still have to look people in the face, and we still have to go out there and be the best version of who we want to be. And there's nothing that you can do to stop us, and we will continue to fight. And so if you don't understand that, and you really don't understand what our community is about, then keep your mouth shut and don't say fucking anything.
Right, right. And it is all of our jobs to advocate for the community's rights. Right.
Period. Asshole. But I don't know you. I don't know you, but, you know.
He's so, like, awesome.
She's trying hard.
I'm trying so hard. But between his being a Republican and actually, I'm not. Okay. I'm going to save you guys that rant because, you know, I'm trying to like him because he's kind of cool, but...
That explains a lot.
Just be better.
Just be better.
So we did have a couple of other things that we had in our notes. I will leave it up to the group if they want to discuss those or move on and close our show because we've been at it for an hour and 20 minutes.
Yep.
Overtime.
Yes. So, Nick, would you like to discuss your next story or should we?
No, I'll just make note of it. I think it's important to make note of it. Okay. Former Olympic diver said yes in Venice, and their engagement photos are absolutely beautiful.
I did see that.
I think one of the reasons.
Give us a little bit of background. You have to now. You mentioned it.
Oh, now we're invested.
So one of the reasons I bring this up is because I feel like that there's this stereotypical idea of what a gay couple looks like.
Right.
And that's not the case. I mean, men are men. Men will look the way that they look. And this Olympic couple, yes, they have a platform, and it's beautiful, and it's amazing that they came out. So claps. But so Jimmy and Patrick, they are burly, bigger men. And the photos of them in Venice getting engaged and kissing and showing their rings and showing their love for one another, it's not what you're typically used to seeing. They're beautiful men, but they're big, burly men.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but it's not what what people think of. It's not right. What when you see all those engagement flash mobs and all that stuff, you don't see, this is something that you don't see, and I feel like it's underrepresented. And I think it's so important to represent that we as a community come in all facets and all in all sizes and in all shapes.
Just like the rest of the world does.
Yeah. And these are two big burly men that love each other, and they propose to each other in Venice on a gondola, and it is the most adorable thing I've ever seen.
And it's beautiful. And the picture of them kissing and everything. And of course, this will be one of the stories that we can put on there. We'll put a link to the story so that you guys can, you know, see the pictures for yourself and read up on it. It's absolutely beautiful. It really is. To see that. To see love. Seeing love in any format, in any way, is always gorgeous, right?
I'm a sucker for that.
Right?
I would love to be in the middle of that.
Like, just be part of it, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Like a random back, like... Yeah.
Love movie is extra. Love, says the promiscuous person in his 20s and 30s.
So it was just so we all know, it was a Swedish diver. His name was Jimmy. I'm not going to say this right. So Sjöjden? Sjöjden?
Don't try.
Yeah, I'm not going to
try. Chris is not here.
I know. Thank you. And his partner, bodybuilder Patrick Huber from Germany. And it's just a cute, beautiful story. And I was like kind of just seeing the photos and they're just, made me happy.
As Chris would say with any story from Germany, jawohl! I miss Chris.
Actually, in Italy.
In Italy! They're kissing. All right, cool. All right, so listen, we're going to move into, of course, Mama Kim's Minute. And so I need to get my phone and put a timer on. Did you get our Kid Talk time?
Sure.
Okay. So while you do that, I'm going to let Nick do his thing. Let me get my timer here. And of course, let's see. 1, 2, 3, the stopwatch, reset, and go.
All right, everybody. It's Mama Kim's Minute. Number 1, White House... big word. credentialed journalist blames coronavirus on trans kids and sexual immorality. Fucker. Two, the transgender flag is finally a fucking emoji. Amazing.
Hello.
Number three, gay animals, Netflix, Chip and Potato now has two zebra dads and gender neutral bathrooms. Number four, an Indiana college refuses to let Katie Sowers coach women's basketball because she's gay.
All right. Well, on that note, that was 38 seconds. That was amazing. Speaking of Katie,
I could not get that word.
Yeah, that's okay. It's credentialed.
Thank you.
And normally, I'm the Spanish woman issues with words.
I was like, how do you?
Speaking of, is it Katie Sowers? Isn't she the assistant coach was the first female to ever coach a football team that made it to the Super Bowl? And she also happens to be a member of our community. And so we're super proud. She did a great job, although her team did not win. I think that it was amazing and she deserves claps. One more note on the Super Bowl before we move forward. those two fucking Latinas. Oh my God, they were fire last night. Come on, Elsie.
Tell me they weren't.
I'm not going to be that person, so I'm going to say they were both great.
All right.
Because one of them I don't feel so much about.
Which one? Be honest. It's okay.
Just remember you asked for this.
Don't say it. Because I know you're going to say J-Lo.
Fuck her. I'm going to tell you this. Don't really like her, but I respect the shit out of her.
Uh-huh.
So this is how I feel that conversation went. Jennifer Lopez. I want to be at the halftime show for the Super Bowl. And then the Super Bowl is like, okay, but do you have any other Latin friends that are actually talented to come with you? And then she was like, okay, Shakira and J Balvin and everyone else.
And
then
the Super Bowl was like, and all of them.
And then the Super Bowl was like, well, fine, then you get to come, but only because of them. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Nick.
I'm sorry. J-Lo was talented.
First of all, I said no to this because I know the reaction that I'm going to get. And fuck J-Lo. Although I respect the shit out of her. And I think she's beautiful. And she has an amazing body.
I love all the memes. Okay. J-Lo at 50, me at 30 with a fucking inhaler.
I can't. Like, that woman is ridiculous.
She's
so successful, which is really hard to do when you're so not talented. Just remember, asked for it.
I have always said that J-Lo can't sing. She's
or
an entertainer.
Act or speak. Or
she's an entertainer.
Have you seen The Wedding Planner?
First of all, this is why I respect her. Because how the fuck did she get that role? And then it was a great fucking movie. It was so cute. And then she ruined it by being in it. I'm sorry.
Wow.
You did this.
So,
How did I know it was going to be J-Lo? I knew it was going to be J-Lo.
Because you know. Okay. Because even though you won't admit it, you know.
So I will tell you this. Throughout all of the entire performance, it was hot. Two powerful Latinas doing their thing on stage. But one of the most poignant moments of the entire performance is to see J-Lo's daughter. Well, let's just say, because she didn't sing like J-Lo. She sang more like Mark Anthony.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for saying
that. She is also Mark Anthony's daughter, which, by the way, he has a beautiful, amazing gift.
Amazing.
He is our gem. He is our island's gem.
Yes.
Gorgeous daughter sang. And while they were singing Born in the USA and also Let's Get Loud combined together. They sent a very powerful message to the administration and to the American people. On the ground, actually in front of the stage, were children that were also part of the act in cages. It was, my hair literally just stood up when I saw it. I immediately knew what that meant. And I thought that it was a very powerful moment that should have happened. It happened. And y'all people who can't take the truth of the fact that we as Americans are doing this to our Latino immigrants that are sitting in these concentration camps in cages, she put it on full display. And I have to give her props for that. That was amazing.
Again, like I said, I respect her. Fuck her.
That was beautiful. And her daughter stole the show. Shakira and J-Lo were great. Her daughter was amazing.
There was another meme of Beyonce looking at her daughter.
Like,
no, Beyonce was looking at her daughter and I'm like, Do you see? That's J-Lo's daughter out singing her mother. Not going to happen.
I thought it was.
Don't even think about it.
They killed it. They killed it. I have my feelings on J-Lo, but they killed it. I have
a lot of feelings. If that wasn't obvious by that rant.
All right.
All right. Well, Elsie, since you're here, why don't you tell us what our gay talk term is? But before you do, gay talk term is brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com,
bitches.
Yes.
Elsie, go for it.
So this one is kind of tame, but I'm going to give it my own twist because I think they could have done better with this definition. It's just muff, right?
What is
M-U-F-F.
Muff.
It's a warm enclosure for the hands, the vagina, when erotically licked. I would describe this as a warm enclosure for the hands and or vagina.
Is that where I put my hands in when they're cold, like in my ball sack and
then
somewhere?
And then you put it.
And then I ask you to smell it.
Yeah, that.
Smell it.
You're so gross.
Okay, everybody. So
I'm
Muff.
I'm so glad you don't have a vagina.
Muff is your gay talk term this week. And everybody, so on this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by GayRealEstate.com is Butchie Award Certified of Honor when February...
Certificate.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry.
Certificate of Honor. When? February 3rd. Where? In California. 1988. Where? California. Cameron Butchie Tanner is a bartender, drag performer in San Francisco, and has been elected as Empress of San Francisco. He is awarded, or they, or she, is awarded a Certificate of Honor by the City of San Francisco on this day.
Yes! All right, well... We have some announcements. Elsie, get ready because your name is on there as well. So you're going to help us out, right?
Yes.
You got this?
Yes.
All right. So
I've been on point so far.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. So if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your web browser or your favorite device as soon as our episodes are published. You can also be a supporter on Patreon, which gives you access to this amazing video feed that only you guys have exclusivity for the first week as the shows are produced. Those donations can be an any denomination of a dollar or more, and they're collected monthly, and we thank you for them. Elsie?
Next week, we welcome Ian Field Stewart to the show.
Ian. I'm sorry.
Ian. Also, I have an accent, Ian, so please forgive me. Okay. Ian?
Yes. Ian.
Uh-huh. Ian. A Black, queer, and trans feminine New York-based storyteller working at the intersection of theater and activism.
That's fantastic, and I can't wait.
I'm super excited about it.
I'm totally going to be here for that.
You are.
You are. She may even be in studio, so that's exciting.
I would love for her to be in studio. Amazing.
So thank you to our guest, Dr. Evan Goldstein, for joining us on today's episode. A big thanks, of course, to you, Elsie, for stepping in, as always, and saving our butts. Thank you.
Happy to.
And don't forget, get your discount today for the Future Method. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. This is a first of its kind, doctor-developed formula that gently cleans before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or on subscription per person.
I feel like we're running one of those infomercials at 2 o'clock in the morning when we get back from the bar.
That's my feeling this when I'm saying amazing. This. I'm like, I've got to sound like an infomercial.
So, Dr. Goldstein, tell us. No, it's really good. Definitely.
It's amazing.
You have to use it.
Anyway. And now we know that it's pre-measured, so you'll never overdo it.
That's
and
right.
And put yourself at harm.
You've
so that's
just
awesome.
Enough liquid to go up your ass.
Right.
All right. Shall we put a rubber on this?
Dental dam or rubber? You have a choice.
Yeah. Today's the day.
Let's do rubber.
All right. Okay. Let's put a rubber on it.
Yes.
All right. So...
You start. Oh,
our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. Would you like to try the next one? Silence.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 2.0, and email gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
Yeah!
Tom, take it away.
All right, and if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website and click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, you can submit questions for the cast or an individual host. Send Elsie questions. I think she would be amazing at answering them. I know. You can also leave us a question via voice message. We can answer that for you here on the show. You can call us by calling 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, I would like to thank you all. That is our show. And y'all, have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.